Good morning and welcome to our telephone conference, BMW Group second quarter 2021. We have here Oliver Zipse, Chairman of the Board, and Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management in charge of finance. The gentlemen will give you an overview of business development first, and after that, as always, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. Today, we will deviate somewhat from the usual order of events, and we will begin with Mr. Peter. You have the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the second quarter of 2021, as expected, the BMW Group was able to build on its strong performance of the first three months. Individual mobility remains in high demand across the globe. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment for the year to the end of June was 13.0% and therefore at a very healthy level. In a decade of transformation, the BMW Group is taking an active and formative role. Sustainable profitability lays the foundation for us to continue investing in future technologies. That is why, during our first strong half year, we continued to focus on our performance. The efficiency measures we launched in recent years are now also bearing fruit. So far, thanks to the hard work of our staff in purchasing, production, and sales, we have been able to make up for the challenges in semiconductor supplies. As the supply bottlenecks drag on, the situation is becoming more volatile. That is why we anticipate further disruption to production in the second half of the year and a related impact on vehicle sales. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start with the financial figures for the group. The recovery from the economic impact of the coronavirus crisis continued in the first half of 2021. In the year to the end of June, group revenues climbed 28.1% to 55.36 billion euros. At 9.74 billion euros, group earnings before tax for the first six months were, as expected, significantly higher than the previous year, which had been heavily impacted by the lockdown. The figure for the second quarter rose to almost 6 billion euros. Reflecting the positive business development overall, the group EBT margin was 17.6% for the year to the end of June and 20.9% for the second quarter. The revenue and earnings results largely reflect better pricing, positive effects from our model mix, as well as higher sales volumes resulting from increased demand. Both our new vehicles and our pre-owned cars are proving very popular with customers right now. The significant improvement in our financial results also boosted group earnings. Lower risk provisioning and higher income from the resale of end-of-lease vehicles also contributed to the increase. Having recognized higher provisions last year in response to the volatile situation caused by the pandemic, we were now able to release some of this amount. In addition to this, as already announced in May, positive effects came from the partial release of the provision in connection with the EU antitrust proceedings of around 1 billion euros, as well as from valuation effects from our pensions obligations. However, these positive effects were offset by headwinds from higher raw material prices. In recent years, we have implemented long-lasting changes in all areas of the company that are now paying off. At the same time, we have taken further important steps to reduce complexity. For instance, new package solutions for our products have, in particular, made the digital customer experience much simpler and more enjoyable. They are also relieving pressure on the cost side. To fully exploit sales potential and improve working capital, we are constantly optimizing our sales structures and using analysis tools to manage our sales and inventories in an even more granular way. That is by market, model, or sales channel. In this way, we always have the appropriate offer. On the production side, as previously announced, we will reduce cost per unit by a quarter from 2019 levels by 2025. One of the ways we will achieve this is by exploiting potential for optimization in logistics and capacity utilization, as well as through virtual planning processes. Ladies and gentlemen, further electrification of our vehicle fleet is the focus of our short and medium-term planning. The all-electric BMW iX has been rolling off the production line at our plant in Dingolfing since July. It will be followed in the autumn by the all-electric BMW i4 from our main plant in Munich. At over €2.57 billion, R&D expenditure for the first 6 months remained high. This also includes initial upfront investments for the Neue Klasse, as well as expenditure for further development of our electric drivetrains and digitalization of our fleet. As always, our focus remains on the customer. The R&D ratio for the first half year, according to German Commercial Code, was 4.6%. All our decisions are clearly focused on the main topics of electrification, sustainability and digitalization. We are using available resources intelligently for maximum impact. Capital expenditure is higher than for the same period of last year at just under €1.71 billion. Investment in the launch of the new iX and further development of our electric drivetrains were the key drivers for this. Higher revenues meant the CAPEX ratio of 3.1% was slightly lower than the previous year. In the second half of 2021, capital expenditure is forecast to be higher due to the number of launches and the usual seasonal effects. We expect the ratio for the full year to be below our target figure of 5%. The financial result increased significantly in the first 6 months. The at-equity result once again reflects the strong business performance of our Chinese joint venture BBA, whose earnings contribution climbed to €1 billion thanks to strong customer demand. Of course, the figure for the previous year has been dampened by pandemic restrictions, especially in the first quarter. The other financial result benefited from valuation effects for interest rate derivatives in connection with higher interest rates in the US. The result from investments also saw further positive valuation effects from the iVentures Fund and SGL Carbon shares. Euronow's digital services have benefited from the Europe-wide easing of pandemic restrictions in recent months. Demand has risen significantly. Freenow ride hailing, for example, achieved 140% growth in taxi and chauffeur rides. ShareNow also experienced a strong upswing in car sharing. Long-term rents increased by 41% in the first half of 2021 compared to the previous year. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now take a look at the individual segments, starting with the automotive segment. Strong demand in the international automotive markets was reflected in significantly higher revenues, which reached €47.75 billion for the year to the end of June. Revenues for the second quarter totaled €24.98 billion. All regions of the world saw positive development, especially China and the US. The operating result, the EBIT, reached a new all-time high of €6.19 billion for the first half year. The figure for the second quarter rose to €3.95 billion. As well as releasing some of the provision for the EU antitrust proceedings, as I've already mentioned, lower employee numbers, better pricing, and an exceptionally good situation for residual value development also had a positive effect. Higher raw material prices, including a sharp increase in rhodium and palladium costs, dampened earnings developments, however. Against this background, the EBIT margin was 13% for the year to the end of June, and 15.8% for the second quarter. The uncertainty over supply chains and additional raw material headwinds remains high. As a result, earnings momentum is expected to weaken in the second half of the year. The segment's financial results for the second quarter benefited from the strong earnings contribution of almost 500 million euros from our Chinese joint venture, BBA, and positive valuation effects from equity investments. Let's take a look at free cash flow in the automotive segment. We're taking advantage of the current situation to systematically optimize our working capital. We are on the right track here. Free cash flow in the automotive segment totaled 4.9 billion euros at the end of June. Good working capital management related to lower inventories due to the semiconductor situation and in particular higher earnings are the driver for this. As is usual, payments for investments will increase towards the year end. Additionally, earnings momentum will be dampened by the supply bottlenecks I referred to. In the second half of the year, we also anticipate cash outflows for personnel restructuring measures. Tax prepayments will also be due on a higher level. We are aiming for a free cash flow at the year end above our previous record of 5.8 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the financial services segment, which also benefited from global sales growth and a positive risk situation in the second quarter and delivered a strong financial performance. A total of 1.03 million new financing and leasing contracts were concluded with retail customers in the first half of 2021, an increase of 28% year-on-year. The total portfolio of 5.6 million retail contracts was at the same level as at the start of the year. The very positive development in pre-owned car markets, I already mentioned, also continued in the second quarter, especially in the US and UK. This resulted in high income from the sale of end-of-lease vehicles. Credit losses remained at a low level. In the first half of the year, segment earnings before tax increased to 1.94 billion euros. The figure for the second quarter was at 1.15 billion euros. The prior year quarter had been dominated by uncertainty due to the coronavirus pandemic, with additional risk provisioning for anticipated credit and residual value risks. The motorcycle segment also performed well in the second quarter, with 8 new models introduced by the end of June. Thanks to this strong product offering, we were able to grow sales to 107,000 units in the first half of the year, a new all-time high for this period. The segment's operating earnings rose in line with the positive business development in the year to the end of June to 284 million euros. The figure for the second quarter was 149 million euros. The EBIT margin for the first half of the year was 17.5%. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look now at our guidance for the current year. The BMW Group continues to focus on profitable, sustainable growth. After a strong first half year, we generally expect the positive business development to continue in the second half of 2021. Our guidance assumes that political and economic conditions will not deteriorate significantly. It also does not take account of the possible further impact of the coronavirus pandemic. For the full year, based on our current assessments, we expect the key financial and non-financial performance indicators to develop as follows. We anticipate a significant increase in group pre-tax earnings for the full year. Thanks to ongoing personnel restructuring measures, we intend to achieve our goals with a slightly lower number of employees than last year. In the automotive segment, we should see a solid increase in the number of BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles delivered to customers. Electrified vehicles will account for a significantly higher percentage of total volumes. We have a strong market position in China. Demand for cars from our three BMW Group brands remains high in the US and Europe. However, due to the current uncertainty over semiconductor supplies, we cannot rule out the possibility of our sales figures being impacted by further production downtimes. Continued high raw material prices will have a significant impact in the second half of 2021. We also expect to see the usual seasonal increase in fixed costs towards the end of the year. For this reason, the EBIT margin is forecast to be at the high end of our range of 7-9%. We will once again significantly reduce CO2 emissions in our new vehicle fleet. In the financial services segment, earnings development will benefit more from the improved situation than originally anticipated, both in terms of credit and residual value risks. This is reflected in a higher return on equity than in our original guidance, which we now expect to be within the range of 17-20%. In the motorcycle segment, we had so far forecast a solid increase in deliveries. Now, due to positive market development, it looks like we'll be able to deliver slightly more motorcycles than forecast in March. We therefore anticipate a significant increase in deliveries, slightly above the 10% mark. The EBIT margin will remain within our target range of 8-10%. Ladies and gentlemen, after the first 6 months of 2021, the BMW Group is on course to meet its goals for the year. However, the uncertainty surrounding semiconductor supplies makes planning for the full year difficult. Our vehicle plants have the capacity and the flexibility to meet high customer demand at all times. But we are dependent on functioning supply chains. There are, of course, opportunities to be found in every challenging situation. We're taking advantage of these and have reacted quickly and systematically in recent months. Activities have ranged from inventory optimization to sustainable efficiency measures in all areas of the company. We're maintaining the momentum of the past few months and actively shaping the transformation of the company. Thank you. This was Nicolas Peter, thank you. And now, Chairman of the Board, Oliver Zipse. Good morning. The performance of BMW is undisputed, as Nicolas Peter told us. We are on the right track. We are making the right decisions at the right time, the decisions that will keep our company profitable and successful for a long time to come. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the world most concerned with right now? What's our society striving towards? What is the burning issue that unites us all? There can be no doubt that it is drastically reducing CO2. We share the same goal of effectively combating climate change. That's where I would like to start today. And from there, I'll go on to talk about the following points. How are we further strengthening our digital expertise, and where does the BMW Group stand in financial 2021? Let's start with the first point, our road to climate neutrality. The three main regions of the world, many other countries and even cities, all want to become carbon neutral. That's also our mission and responsibility at the BMW Group. We have always taken a forward-looking perspective. It is the foundation of the long-term business model of our company, and it requires, by definition, that all our decisions are based on sustainable thinking. Our strategic orientation towards climate neutrality benefits our customers. At the same time, it also sends a strong signal to all our stakeholders and the capital market, which is increasingly looking to invest in sustainability. Not least, it sends a signal to our team and their jobs. The currency that matters in our industry today, how big is a vehicle's carbon footprint throughout the whole of its life cycle? The atmosphere, that is the climate, doesn't care whether a manufacturer adopts a BEV-only, a BEV-centric, or an open technology strategy. All that matters for the purpose of climate protection is the actual amount of CO2 emitted, and that means across the board, from raw materials and other materials, throughout the industrial manufacturing process and active use of a vehicle, all the way to recycling the raw materials. Our impression is that it is often the case with zero emissions that the louder the proclamations, the broader the disclaimer and general terms and conditions. Not with us. Already in summer 2020, we unveiled concrete sustainability goals for 2030 and geared our company towards them. And we are documenting our progress in a way that's transparent and verifiable to everyone in our integrated report and as a member of the Science Based Targets Initiative. Our clearly defined targets in accordance with the Paris Climate Agreement put us on a course that is significantly more ambitious than the 2-degree goal and without the fine print. We are already concentrating on all three scopes where CO2 is emitted, the supply chain, production, and of course, the use phase. Our vision is of a value chain that produces less and less CO2, culminating in a circular economy. Take the new BMW iX, for example. Already today, the battery cells are produced with green power, and we use 20% recycled plastics. We will be presenting our circular approach at the IAA Mobility here in Munich, so stay tuned. By 2030, we aim to reduce our entire carbon footprint per vehicle by at least a third from 2019 levels across the entire life cycle. Production at all our locations worldwide is already net carbon neutral as of this year. This applies to all our properties and administrative buildings as well. We will be taking things up a notch in the near future. The use phase has a particularly strong impact on the carbon footprint. But we could imagine an even bigger CO2 reduction per vehicle by 2030. Already last year, we overfulfilled our fleet target significantly, and we will overfulfill it again this year. The same applies to climate neutrality as everywhere. There are different ways of getting there. So, ruling out certain approaches isn't helpful. None of these are wrong as long as they benefit climate protection. The approach should always be pragmatic and manageable and never ideological, in the interest of a greater vision, the global target of being climate neutral. Ladies and gentlemen, BMW Group is a global manufacturer. That is why we always focus on the big picture, the global perspective, if you like. That doesn't make things any easier or linear. On the contrary, it makes it extremely multifaceted because our world is and will remain diverse, especially when it comes to people's mobility and the necessary conditions needed to ensure it. We solve the biggest challenges for the world through innovation and technological progress. To do this, we use our ability to integrate highly complex technical systems into a product in order to tailor it optimally to the requirements of certain markets. In this way, we offer markets the right technologies for their individual circumstances and pace of change. We see this as a clear competitive advantage for BMW, one we will continue to leverage to gain market share, because going forward, regulations and what customers want will vary from region to region and from country to country. In Europe, for example, new vehicle registrations in Norway and the Netherlands are already dominated by battery electric drivetrains, while other countries in the EU don't even have a rudimentary charging infrastructure. In the US, on the other hand, California continues to lead the way on e-mobility, but demand for vehicles with combustion engines remains strong in many other states, and in Asia, countries like Japan and Korea have the potential for fuel cell drivetrains. China is driving the pace on e-mobility. E-fuels could also be an option for certain regions. Going forward, hydrogen technology will become more important alongside electric power and not, as is often rumored, just for utility vehicles. This is another area where we are delivering. Our small series of the BMW iHydrogen Next will be released next year already. We're often asked whether the BMW Group has a date for its full transition to pure electric drivetrains. Well, the answer, to put it clearly and precisely, is we are 100% committed to BEVs wherever the use of battery electric drivetrains makes sense, and it is possible because the conditions are right. And there will be a full offering of products. Best proof is our Mini brand. From the early 2030s, it will be our first all-electric brand, without any disclaimers, because Mini fans are mainly active in urban spaces. This is the exact same direction targeted by the new electric scooter from BMW Motorrad. Our CO04 is the perfect companion for the urban commuter. We recently unveiled the production model, which we will begin delivering early next year. All of this underlines that achieving market penetration with e-mobility hasn't been a vehicle supply issue for quite a while now. It depends to a greater degree on how quickly the charging infrastructure is being expanded. And we have been committed to this for a long time. We have already installed more than 15,000 charging points worldwide. In Germany alone, we operate one of the biggest company charging networks together with E.ON. We currently have a total of 4,350 charging points in service, and by the end of the year, it will be more than 5,000. All of them run on green power, and some are even open to the public. We will provide an update on our progress in the autumn as part of IONITY's European High Power Charging Network. IONITY is open to anyone who wants to join. Expansion is important to us, especially the accelerated expansion. We must not allow charging infrastructure to be the bottleneck that decides whether customers buy an electric vehicle or not. As the current ASEA president, I'm fighting for this so that we can move forward faster in all 27 EU member states. But we need a stronger commitment to this. With the Fit for 55 package it unveiled in July, the European Commission has once again tightened its reduction targets for CO2 emissions. Every additional percentage point in the targets that is tightened means that we need at least 200,000 more public charging points in addition to the 3 million already needed by 2030. Companies are now expected to reduce CO2 emissions from their new vehicle fleets by 55% from current levels by 2030. That is the Commission's proposal, which forms the starting point for the legislative process. It is equivalent to tightening the target by around 18 percentage points from the previous target of -37.5%. As you would expect from BMW, we are taking a reliable and consistent approach to this additional challenge. By 2023, we will offer our customers at least one BEV option in nearly all our vehicle segments. Over the next 10 years or so, the BMW Group aims to release a total of about 10 million fully electric vehicles on the market. For the targets up to 2035, a review by the Commission in 2028 will determine whether credit should be awarded for other zero-emission technologies such as e-fuels in addition to BEVs and FCFs. In 2025, that's just 4 years from now, we will launch the Neue Klasse. This all-new product offering is our response to the highly complex requirements of the coming decades. In many respects, the Neue Klasse is a real quantum leap. For future model generations, toolkits, technologies, cooperation, and our mindset across the BMW Group. Our new vehicle architecture is uncompromisingly electric, whether with battery power or hydrogen. It also comes with an entirely new IT and software architecture, as well as a newly developed high-performance electric drivetrain and battery generation. Systems integration is another one of the BMW Group's core competences that we will be demonstrating in Neue Klasse. For me, all of this underlines our forward-looking approach, and hence the opposite of looking to the past. Now, this to reply to the opinion of some so-called car experts, if that is permitted. Now, this brings me to my second topic. We are further strengthening our digital expertise. In today's cars, software, hardware, and services work together in an integral way. This is how we are laying the technological foundation that will enable us to offer our customers new functions on an ongoing basis. Our vehicles are always up to date with the very latest technology. For the past 2 years, we've been able to update every single line of code in a vehicle over the air via remote software upgrade. There are only two firms capable of this. One of them is in California and the other in Munich. By the end of this year, the BMW Group will have over 2.5 million vehicles with upgrade capabilities on the roads, the largest fleet of this kind worldwide. Our new generation BMW iDrive leads the interaction between driver and vehicle into the digital future. We lay the foundation for this with the new BMW Operating System 8, a new generation of displays, controls, and software, as well as extremely powerful data processing designed for 5G. We're introducing it for the first time in the BMW iX and subsequently rolling it out broadly across all other models. We're also integrating the digital services for navigation, parking, and charging into the BMW Max cloud-based system. With the iX, customers also have the flexibility to book functions on demand at any time. For the digital ecosystem in the car, as well as digitalized production and digitalized processes across the company, we are building up the necessary skills and competencies. Here, we're concentrating on specific areas. Smart production and logistics, including robotics, big data and data analysis, software architecture and agile software development, artificial intelligence and autonomous driving, and e-mobility, as well as innovative drive and lightweight technologies. At BMW Group, around 10,000 employees are working in the IT and software development. In the last 2 years alone, we have brought in 2,400 new experts in our development division. Our 14 tech offices span the world, from California to the new FITS Nord in Munich to Shanghai and Tokyo. In addition, we have joint ventures such as Critical Tech Works in Portugal. When it comes to in-car IT applications in particular, customers in different regions of the world, specifically in China and Europe and the US, use different services and providers. That's the diverse markets I mentioned earlier. And for every region, we provide seamless integration of third-party services such as Apple, Google, Tencent, or Spotify. Ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap up with my third point. To sum it up in just a few words, yes, we had a strong first half of the year. Our broad range of fresh new models and various drive technologies met with lively demand. This applies to all our brands, BMW, Mini, and Rolls-Royce, as well as to MTMBH, BMW, Motorrad, and all regions of the world. Around 1.34 million vehicles represents growth of almost 40% compared to the first half of 2020. Sales for the first 6 months of the year were the highest in our history. But we all know that in many regions of the world, the first half of 2020 was hit especially hard by the restrictions due to the coronavirus pandemic. That is why a comparison with the first half of the pre-crisis year 2019 is more meaningful. Compared to that period, our sales increased by 7.1%, and in July this year as well, our figure was above July 2019. As expected, our customers are buying significantly more electrified vehicles right now. In the first half of the year, our sales grew by almost 150% as expected. In our domestic market, Germany, nearly one in four BMWs and around 30% of Minis sold already have an electric drivetrain. By the end of the year, we aim to have a total of 1 million fully electric plug-in hybrid and plug-in hybrid vehicles on the roads, and by 2025, 2 million pure electric vehicles. By then, we aim to deliver 10 times the number of BEVs we sold in 2020. The fully electric BMW iX3 has been available since the start of this year. It was not designed specifically for e-mobility. Despite this, it is winning comparative tests with its rivals. The BMW iX and i4 will both be launched in the autumn. Both are extraordinary vehicles that offer a fantastic driving experience. High orders for both are already exceeding our expectations. The planned annual volume of the BMW iX, for example, is already largely sold out in Europe. This underlines the high level of interest in this technologically unique vehicle. We are naturally very pleased with the positive feedback in the media and on social media. But in the next, new models will be coming in rapid succession from here. In the next 2 years, we'll launch an all-electric version of the BMW 7 Series, X1 and 5 Series. 2021 is proving to be a unique financial year for us, both with tailwinds and headwinds. On 20 May, we re-evaluated our provision of €1.4 billion in connection with antitrust proceedings by the European Commission. The Commission completely withdrew its allegations against, or mostly withdrew its allegations against the BMW Group. The Commission confirmed once again in this connection that there is and was never any allegation of illegal manipulation of exhaust gas treatment by the BMW Group. The proceedings were concluded on 8 July with a settlement and a fine of €372.8 million. The revaluation of the provision has led to a positive earnings effect of around €1 billion in the second quarter of 2021. As a result, our target corridor for the EBIT margin in the automotive segment increased by 1 percentage point. There are, however, on top of the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, additional risks for our ongoing business performance that we are taking very seriously. Our industry cannot ignore the global shortage of microchips. So far, compared to other manufacturers, we have been able to absorb the impact of this well. A few of our plants have also been affected recently, but with varying degrees of intensity. We assess the situation on a daily basis and are taking appropriate measures with our suppliers. In addition to semiconductor supply bottlenecks, we also face rising raw material prices. This is another reason why our circular approach makes sense. Lastly, extreme weather, such as the devastating floods in Germany, Europe and other parts of the world, show forecasts and expectations can change fast. Quite apart from the immense suffering people in the affected regions are facing. Confronted with all these risks, the second half year will be more challenging for the BMW Group than the first. Nevertheless, we are confident that we will achieve our targets for the full year. We are convinced our holistic approach is absolutely effective. The requirements for the automotive industry are highly complex. There are no simple truths. What counts for climate protection, as with all the other major future fields, is effectiveness. And this is what the BMW Group stands for. Thank you. Thank you, Oliver Zipse. We can now take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues to provide the technical information for the conference. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to ask a question, push the keys 0 and 1 on your telephone. Your questions will then be taken in the order asked. If you'd like to withdraw a question, push the keys 0 and 2 on your telephone. If you're listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to pick up the receiver to ask your questions. Thank you, and a minute for the first question. First question, Marco Engemann. Your line is open. Well, good morning from Frankfurt. Thanks for allowing me this question. To be honest, I have several questions, two relating to finance and one to electric mobility. Dr. Peter, you talked about funds for personnel restructuring in the second half of the year. What type of funds will be used for that and how much will that be? Then expected burdens due to commodity prices after the first quarter. You said it was around 500 million to 1 billion for the entire year. Now, is that still appropriate? Is this still what you're planning with? And could you quantify burdens from the lack of chips? I know it's a little difficult, but perhaps you have a couple of scenarios you could share with us. And then Mr. Zipse, your reference to MINI as a completely electrified brand, you said this is because most of the customers are urban users. Well, who is it who buys your electric vehicles all in all? Because from Wolfsburg we're hearing, due to limited charging possibilities, these are mainly customers in the suburban areas or even rural areas. So who are your customers here? Thank you, Mr. Engemann. We'll begin with Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Engemann, let's begin with currencies and raw materials. I'd said between 500 million and 1 billion. We're closer to the 500. However, this is what will occur mainly in the second half of the year, but over the entire year, I'd say it's more towards the lower end of the range that we had announced. Now, for the chip bottleneck, to give you an idea, we continue to assume that there will be solid growth of our global retail, and solid growth to us, that means between 5 and close to 10%. And we continue to be on a good track, and we could, and that's probably what you mean, we could probably sell between 70 and 90,000 cars more if we didn't have to face those restrictions. But nonetheless, we can keep up our guidance for retail growth. Then your third question, that was related to the planned slight decrease in headcount that we'd already communicated in March, but this will not have significant effects on our free cash flow. Thank you. Second part of the question, that related to the MINI and who are the MINI customers or who are the ones who buy BEVs. Mr. Zipse. Well, I think that's really a pretty good question. And our insights derive from our market forecasts and not so much from what we'd like to see. And we can observe the following things. First of all, when the regulator limits the conditions for the use of cars, this will probably happen in cities and towns first. Right now, there aren't any prohibitions in place. And there's a lot of discussion, so we have to see what happens. The first thing that will happen is that there will be individual cities or towns that will ask for driving without emissions. So brands that are very urban, and that's a brand like MINI, the MINI brand doesn't build long-range vehicles. These are vehicles used in urban areas, and so those will be affected first, and we are preparing for this. The second point is, we already have a purely electric MINI, that's the MINI E, which is a very successful car. What we also notice, I mean, there's a compatibility of that brand with electric driving, which is very high. That's the second insight we gained. And the third thing is, MINI is not a long-range car. So it's really ideal, you know, due to limited reach. And to customers, that's always a cost factor because large batteries cost a lot of money. And this is precisely the segment, if you have an adequate reach, you can achieve great satisfaction. And it's these three things taken together which bring us to say that by 2030, we are pretty certain that at that point in time, it will be the right approach. Thank you. Next question, please. Christina Ammann, Johnson Reuters. Good morning. I have a question about the chips. You said over the year you could probably build 70 or sell 70 to 90,000 cars more if there wasn't that bottleneck for chips. Could you also quantify that? What does that mean financially for BMW? Second question, Mr. Zipse, in your speech you said that already now BMW is net CO2 neutral in its production administration. Could you break that down a little further? How much of this is attributable to certificates and then hydrogen cars? To my knowledge, BMW is more or less the only major Western manufacturer who also develops hydrogen cars. How is that related to your BEV mobility strategy, because at BMW, that's the impression you get from the outside, that's not being pushed as strongly as by other manufacturers. Thank you. We'll begin with Mr. Peter on the effects of the chip shortage. Well, I didn't say up to 100,000. I said, we could sell so and so many more cars if we didn't have the issue with the semiconductors. I must say, on the one hand, of course, we continue to work, in purchasing and in production, in trying to mitigate or minimize that risk. But I mean, we will continue to work on this to make sure to avoid any problems here. And then your other question, you asked, what does that mean for what are the financial repercussions on our guidance? Well, no effects on guidance on the sales side. There will be solid growth. We will also maintain our guidance on the finance side. Or to be further specific, we would say we are at the upper end of our target range of 7%-9%, despite the fact, you see, due to great customer demand, we could sell more. And it's, I guess, pretty easy for you to do the math. What would that mean if we didn't have the restrictions or the risk due to semiconductor shortage? Thank you. Second part of the question, first point of that related to CO2 neutrality. What is the share of certificates in this? And then hydrogen and BEV e-mobility, what's the relationship here? Mr. Zipse. Well, it is important to us that this is not just about compensation of non-green power. What's important is that in production since 2006, we've been able to reduce emissions and energy consumption by more than 70%. So we're on a low level already, and we want to reduce this by yet another 80% by 2030. So this is not just about compensation. This is about effective reduction. This is our main point. Now, in 2020, and I had mentioned this, we 100% of the power we use is green power, and we don't have any certificates, you see. So apart from optimizing energy efficiency, this is our main approach. And in this extensive package of measures, including data analytics, and it's really all about efficiency. Now, your second question, hydrogen in relation to BEV when it comes to e-mobility. Let me say something very general here. Hydrogen vehicles are electric vehicles. They just don't have a battery. They have a fuel cell. So really, you can use the same architectures, and it's pretty simple. And there is no emission-free solution for individual mobility if you don't have a charging infrastructure, except for hydrogen. Sounds pretty banal, but that's why we believe in hydrogen. There will be areas where you don't have a charging infrastructure, but still, for regulatory reasons, you need to drive without emissions. Many customers do this voluntarily. They want to be emission-free, and that will be our offering. Thank you. Next question, please. Franz Hubig, Handelsblatt. Good morning. Thanks for your time. Couple of questions from me. You said after the most recent announcements of your competitors, do you also have plans to produce your own battery cells, to invest into your own production? As far as I understand this, there are some pilot lines, but you are not producing large volumes yet. The other thing I'd be interested in is your sales target by 2030, 3 million units. Is that still a good target? Wouldn't you have to define other targets when in doubt? Perhaps more go towards profitability. And then another point on the lack of chips on the markets. Could you perhaps explain the current situation in your main plants? How much are they impaired by this? Thank you. Thank you. We'll begin with Mr. Zipse. Well, this was a dual question. We'd already explained that before, but maybe I can summarize this. Our strategy has three parts as far as battery cells are concerned. First of all, we do intensive research into that topic, at least as intensively as those who produce batteries. And battery manufacturers confirm that they like working with us because we have already gotten very far with our own research. Secondly, next year, in Pasdorf near Munich, we'll be opening a pilot line, and we can learn a lot more about the processes there on how the production of batteries has to take place, so that we will be able to specify, you know, what we need for our cars. Now, whether or not we will actually produce those ourselves largely depends on the market situation of our suppliers. And the way that looks like today is it's a very large market is being created here with more than 20 manufacturers. So it's not a monopoly situation, not even an oligopoly. We have global suppliers. And we have now, you know, come together with four of them. And we still don't see that it's necessary, also due to the very fast technological development, to make a large investment too early. What's important is the ability to define the contents of those batteries very specifically for our needs, and we have very competent partners together with whom we do this. Now, the 3 million vehicles, that's what we said. I think growth in this growing market, that is an issue. And we want to gain market shares, and the volume targets will always be discussed, by the way, as in all other industries, and as most of our competitors do. And we're quite confident that we can continue to grow, and before 2030, we can reach the 3 million units. To us, this is not a contradiction to profitability. On the contrary, because only if we grow profitably will we achieve the 3 million. There's no contradiction here, and there's no inconsistency. But you can see in the first half of the year, we have increased our volume quite considerably, and profitability is increased at the same time. So both of them can be targets. Then we still have the current situation in the markets. Mr. Hubik, let's recap last week to be very precise. We had product interruptions in Regensburg, Oxford, and with Netcar in the Netherlands due to semiconductor shortage. And in Dingolfing, Magna Steyr, we only had one shift. Now, this week, in the European production network, we have business as usual. We had some other interruptions due to holiday and leave, which we had planned for a long time in Regensburg, Leipzig, and Oxford, and at Magna Steyr and Netcar. Real restrictions. We have currently, with the joint venture BBA in the Dalong plant, where in some cases we just do one shift a day. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. William Wilkes, Bloomberg News. Good morning, everyone. What are you expecting in terms of deliveries second half of the year? And another question, very prominent Chinese social media influencers criticize German cars as being from the last century. They're saying the technology is, you know, they lack entertainment systems and things. Can you comment on that? That's it, sir. Well, that second point, maybe you start with that. That doesn't concern BMW. It'd be first time for us to hear that. We are one of the most innovative brands on the Chinese market. That's something I cannot confirm for us. I haven't heard that. You know, expectations as to delivery second half of the year, I think we have great demand, and with the figures Mr. Peter already gave, there's a slight limitation, but we continue to have great demand for our products. Thank you. Next question, please.
Joel Miller, Financial Times.
Good morning. Just a brief question. The semiconductor crisis, did that help to improve your margins? Because other manufacturers said that their crisis, the crisis was good for their profitability because the production of high margin cars was then prioritized. And I wanted to know whether that also applied to BMW.
Thank you, Joe.
Nicola, please. Well, as I already said, maybe we did slightly better than other, and you know, we weren't as greatly affected by that semiconductor issue, and that's thanks to the incredible performance of our employees, our purchasing department, and our suppliers, our production and sales. Now, what helped to improve the margins was an extremely focused inventory management, which we have in the BMW Group, independently of these issues. And that's something that we are implementing market by market in a very consistent manner. And that is then reflected in inventories which correspond exactly to the demand. And that helped us to not only increase our profitability, but also the profitability of in general. So inventory management is definitely the key, or one of the keys, in addition to outstanding products, in order to achieve good margins, as we've seen in the first 6 months.
Thank you. Now it's almost 11 o'clock. We can still take two more questions. Next question. Jan Schreiber, AFP.
Hello. How do you assess an adjusted margin without the reserves? Are you still satisfied with that? Second was about electromobility. You didn't give a specific date. Maybe you don't want to give us a date, but there must be some markets where there are certain plans where you foresee that there'll be 100 BEVs only in Europe, for example. And my third point on hydrogen, I need to ask again, why should I, let's say, in 2025, why should I buy myself a hydrogen car from BMW and not a BEV if all the charging stations will be there by then? Well, there's always good reasons to buy a BMW, so I would pass that question to our CEO on e-mobility, Oliver Zipse.
Well, thanks for the question. Well, I think we can state nowhere in the world do we have a prohibition of combustion engines. These are announcements, and we expect some of those to come true as well. And as I said in my speech, we will have a product offering. We already have one now, actually, in most segments, where we'll be able to meet that demand. It's more like, you know, an ability to follow the market, not necessarily an ability to anticipate the market. And for now, we have no legal prohibitions yet. We expect that this will happen in some markets, but that's a political process that needs to go through all of these parliaments first. But we're pretty relaxed about it because we'll be prepared. Well, I wouldn't believe that this will happen at the same time worldwide in the next 10 years. That's not going to happen. I'm sure Europe will be fastest. Now, whether for all countries or some countries, that remains to be seen. But 100% BEV, that's not something we anticipate, not at all. I mean, this really depends on a lot of things, on the purchasing power of the citizens, on the charging infrastructures, regulatory matters, a lot of things. Now, for hydrogen, well, the statement you made right at the end saying because at that time there'll be a sufficient charging infrastructure, I don't share that view, you see. At the moment, e-mobility all over the world is growing above proportion on the supply side, and the charging infrastructure cannot keep up with that. That's what I already said. So basically, it's the charging infrastructure that does not develop fast enough. And what we expect is that in this decade, in some regions, there simply won't be a sufficient charging infrastructure in place. So if you want to drive without emissions, then hydrogen is the alternative. This is something that's happening before our eyes. It's plain for everyone to see, and this is why we think that hydrogen has a potential. Okay, a part of the question still needs an answer. That's the adjusted margin without provisions. Well, you know our long-term strategic goal for the automotive segment, 8-10% EBIT margin, including the provisions for the antitrust issue, we were at 13%. Now, if you do that calculation, we're at around 11%. So that is still above our strategic range of 8-10%. And all this despite the semiconductor challenge and despite the effects of Corona in many markets and an increasing share in electrified vehicles. I think this underlines the capabilities and the performance of the company quite impressively. And I think it's also a clear indication that the sustainable performance measures that I mentioned in my speech, that these are taking effect. Thank you. Let's take the last question now. Christian Hetzner, Fortune. Thank you. Two questions. IX order backlog, Europe. Could you give us a figure or give us an idea what it looks like in the US for this model, and then return, if you even take the 9 as a target, is that really what you're going for? Because even today, Stellantis announced they can do 10%. And they think, you know, they're only talking about what they think they can deliver. So in view of what you just said, with the raw material costs and all that at the lower end of the range, are you just being very cautious as far as your guidance is concerned? Thank you, Mr. Hetzner. Herr Zipfel first on the IX and the order backlog, and then here, Mr. Peter, on the return and the margin. Well, the iX is indeed a very extraordinary car, which enjoys great demand. Market launch will be here in Europe, and we have orders already in the US. The car will be coming next year, and basically the demand for that car will, it duplicates. We don't really want to give you any figures, but that car is coming into that market just at the right time, where e-cars, alternative cars, appear on the market. So we're in the right segment at the right time, and we expect to have just as much demand for it as we have in Europe. Okay. Well, Mr. Hetzner, as we just said, at 11%, in the first 6 months, we are above our target range of 8-10%. Yes, there are a few clouds on the sky. We can continue to consistently work on minimizing the effects of the semiconductor issue, and then let's just wait and see the next few months. See where we get. From today's point of view, this is the most reasonable forecast we can make. Okay, colleagues, thank you very much for your time. On behalf of BMW, I wish you a nice summer and stay healthy, all of you. See you soon. Servus and goodbye.